John chapter 6, if you would in your Bibles, please. And Jeffrey didn't make you stand. I will, so please stand up. John chapter 6, start reading in verse number 67 here toward the end of this chapter. You did a good job, amen. I'm more nervous than him. I don't know what his problem is, man. He's all cool and calm up here. Shaking. I think it's 2 o'clock, you know. I got to worry about it. John chapter 6, verse 67. It says there, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you, Lord, for what our hearts have already felt and what our ears have already heard, Lord. Thank you for Jeff. I thank you for his testimony and for him trying to serve you with all that he has in his life, Lord. God, I pray you use me, Lord, in these few minutes, God. God, I don't want to just, you know, go through the motions, Lord. I want you to use me. And God, I pray, like you said, that there are probably people that are unsaved in this room. There are Christians that are struggling and need something out of your word. And God, I can't do that in and of myself, but I know that you can. God, I pray you would speak tonight, and I pray that we would know that you have spoken when we leave this place, Lord. I thank you for your word, and God, I pray you would forgive me of my sins. I pray you would empty me of myself, Lord, and I pray you would fill me with your spirit and help the people to listen to what you have them here for tonight, Lord. You didn't just bring them here for hot dogs and hamburgers and whatever else. You brought them here because you got something to say to them. And I pray that they would listen to your word, Lord. Use me, focus me, get me concentrated, Lord, on what I need to say. Thank you, Lord. Please, God, I need you to put your hand on me and to use me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. John chapter 6, earlier on in this chapter here, we have the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 men. And most of you know that he used a very small means to do this great miracle. He used 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 men. It doesn't even mention the women and children, so it's probably more like 15,000, 20,000 people that he fed with 5 loaves, 5 pieces of bread, and 2 fishes. Brother Bob, that would cut down on cost, okay? That would be nice, okay? But listen. Yes or no? Did Jesus even need the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to perform this miracle? No. But I think he put it in there just to show us that he can use us. Even if our means are small, even if our talents are small, even if our abilities are small, not that smart, not that strong, not that educated, God says, I don't need a whole lot. I just need you to give me what you have, and I can do something great with it. And you can, listen, if you give your life to the Lord, God can touch your neighborhood, touch your school, touch this world. God doesn't need a lot to work with. He just needs you. And we had this tremendous miracle earlier on in the chapter. Yet after this miracle, Jesus was calling for a commitment, okay? Picnic time was over. Eating time was over. Supper time gone. Jesus said, now it's preaching time. I want to call for a commitment. He says, you had the food. You had the hamburgers. You had the hot dog. You had the fish. You had the bread. You had all this stuff. Now it's preaching time. Now it's commitment time. The rest of the chapter, after that wonderful miracle, Jesus is calling for people to accept him as the bread of life. Not just bread that you eat going by the way, not just the bread that he gave them to eat with this miracle, but he says, I want you to accept me. Verse 35 says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He says, all right, eating time's over, but preaching time's just starting. You think you really got something with the fish and the bread? How about you get me the bread of life, and I'll satisfy you for eternity, buddy. The rest of this chapter, he's dealing with this. And he says, I'll save you for eternity. But you know, many would not accept this. Many, sorry to get in your business right about here, but many came for just the food. Many came for just the miracle. Many came for just the kind of entertainment. See, to some people, Jesus was their savior. To other people, Jesus was just the guy that gave them food. Or the guy that kind of put on a magic show that, you know, we all ooh and ah like we did for the fireworks last night. Jesus says, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be Houdini, okay? I don't want to be, you know, whatever magician. I was thinking of some other guy. I can't think of his name. All right? I don't want to be all that. Copperfield. Thank you, Brother Bob. David Copperfield. Sometimes you get preaching and you don't know where these thoughts come from, but you need something quick and you can't find it. All right? Yeah, that's Bob. He knows where it is. Pick the random fact and he might know. Just kidding. He's calling on them. He called them out saying, you're unsaved. You need me. And he challenges them to accept him as their savior. Many of them came to the picnic. Not a lot of them like preaching very much. Look at verse 66, right before what we read. Verse 66 of John chapter 6. From that time, see, Jesus is very pointed and very sharp with his words in this chapter. After the miracle, he says, all right, it's decision time. You accept me or reject me? Verse 66 says that many rejected him. From that time, many of his disciples went back to walk no more with him. You know what that means? They quit, gave up, turned their back on him. I came for the food. I came for the hot dogs. I came for the chips. I came for the soda. Once you're calling for a commitment from me, sorry. No. You want me to work a bus? No. I came for the Lay's potato chips, all right? I got those. I'm out now. And I like what Jesus says to his disciples here in verse 67. After a great multitude of people left, the majority of the people probably left here. The majority of the people probably gone. Jesus turns to his disciples, his faithful ones, his 12. And he says this, will ye also go away? You know what he's saying? Y'all leaving too? Y'all leaving too? I know everybody else left, but are you leaving? You leaving too? Will you also go away? I like what Peter says, the next verse here. Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where can I go, Lord? Where can I go but to the Lord, the song says. I can't find any place, any person, anything where I can find what I find in you. Jesus, I don't let the people leave. Let the multitudes leave. Let the people that just came for the food, let them get out of here. As for me and my house, I'm staying, buddy. He says, I'm staying. And I want to speak to you just for a moment here. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Listen, teenager, if you can't find it in Jesus Christ, it ain't to be found. Adult, if you can't find it in Jesus Christ, you're not going to find it on your job. You're not going to find it with money. You're not going to find it with a big house or a big car or big rims on your car. You're not going to find it there. If you can't find it in Him, it ain't to be found. He says, y'all leaving too? Will you also go away? Peter says, we can't leave you. I want to speak on just for a moment. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Number one, where are you going to go to find, number one, salvation? You know, Peter's given us some reasons why he's not leaving. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know what he's saying in essence? You got salvation, Jesus. That's what I need. Listen, if you don't know why you need salvation, let me educate you just for a minute here. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all of us at some time in our lives, if not many times, millions of times, have failed God, have disobeyed Him in some way. What's the big deal about that? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means the payback for your sin is eternal death, hell. That's why you need salvation. That's why you need salvation, because I'm in a spot. I'm in a bad condition here. I'm on my way to hell. And I got news for you. Church attendance doesn't fix that. Baptism doesn't fix that. We're talking about being saved, being spared from your sin and its ultimate result, which is eternal death in a place called hell. I'm so glad that He can save you from a scary place called hell. Listen to me. He's the only one. Yeah, some of you missed that word. I said He's the only one that can save you from your sin, from hell, and take you to heaven. He's the only one. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. You know what he's saying? God's got a way you can't go under. God's got a way you can't go over. God's got a way you can't go around. If you want to get to heaven, you got to go through the door. Who is the door? Jesus is the door. If you want to get into heaven, there's one door. There is no back door. There is no window that you can slide through. There is nobody, no person that you can slide $5 to and say, can I get in? Or, you know, George sent me. That's not going to work. Unless Jesus sent you, George's word, dropping his name ain't going to do nothing for you. He's the only one. He says, I am the door. He also says a couple chapters later in the book of John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen to me. He is the way to heaven. Listen, get this marked down in your mind. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Period. Period. He says, no man. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where's the Father live? Our Father which art in heaven. He's in heaven. If I want to get to heaven, I got to go through Jesus. He's the only way there. He says, no man. I don't care how much money you got. no man. I don't care how high you up are on your job. Bible says no man's getting into heaven except they go through Jesus Christ. I don't care how much a talent you have and abilities you have, and you can do artistry, or you can have skills and this or that, or how great you think you are. The Bible says no man is getting to heaven. That includes women. No man, no woman's getting to heaven unless they go through Jesus. That's what the Bible says. He's the only way. And listen, you have an opportunity right now, right in a few minutes here, to receive that way. And there are no other options. No other options. Good works won't do it. Confessing my sins to another human will not do it. I don't care what kind of robe he wears, all right? It's not going to save you. You can get confirmed. You can get baptized. You can come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and still be on your way to hell. Listen to me. Mary can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. And Allah cannot save you. He's the only way. You have an opportunity to receive him. And there are no other options. He can save me from that scary place called hell, but he can also save me from my sin. He can save me from its penalty, its price. As we're being sanctified, he's saving me from its power. Sin shall not have dominion over you, Romans 6. Thank God for that. And one day, think about it. One day, he's going to save us from its very presence. When we get to heaven, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more crying, as Brother Kenny said, no more homework, all right? Good stuff up there. Amen. He saved me from a scary place called hell. He can save you from your sin. He can also save you from your squandering. Say, what do you mean? A wasted life? It bothers me a lot of teenagers, they just waste their life. They just go through life and they don't do anything with their lives. Just waste their life. And a lot of adults do the same thing. Listen, you can be a CEO and be wasting your life right now. You can be making, you know, $100,000 a year and be wasting your life right now. You can live in the biggest house on Church Road and be wasting your life right now. Listen, once you get locked in with Jesus Christ, then he gives me a purpose. He gives me a meaning to life. Now I need to, like he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, now I got a purpose for my life. The Bible says I need to get people to believe in Christ, baptize my converts, then get them to behave according to Christ's command. That's my purpose. See, we search around. I'm a Christian. What do I need to do? It's right there. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Read it sometime. I'm telling you, it's right there. We get all off base and all off track. We worry about all these frivolous things. And listen to me. The Bible says that's what our life needs to consist of, be consumed by. Listen to me. I know somebody's walking in. That's great. Okay, we can all do that. That's fine. Listen. Is your life living according to the purpose that God has for it? See, I said this Friday. Once we got saved, God could have just zapped us to heaven. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Take me to heaven. One of that. We're gone. Did you notice? He didn't yet. I've noticed that a few times. Listen to me. Why did he leave you here? Why did he leave you here? He made you here so you can make an impact on your family, on your friends, on your relatives, your classmates, co-workers. Why he left you here? Listen to me. When all the people leave, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, will you also go away? Y'all leaving too? Peter says, we can't leave you. You know why? Because you have salvation. And nobody else has it. I'm staying with you. Number two. Where are you going to go to find, number two, satisfaction? Satisfaction. Listen, I could fill up a whole page with stuff. I'm not going to. Good for you. Brother Bob's, I can see it on Brother Bob's face. He's worried right now. He is worried. You thought Brother Bob was always happy joking around. Not now. What's wrong, Brother Bob? Don't you trust me? No, I don't trust myself. I'm doing my best right now, okay? Where are you going to go to find satisfaction? Well, you said salvation, I can only find it in him. That's right, and you can only find satisfaction in him too. He says in verse 68 again, he said, to whom shall we go? You know what he's saying? There's nobody like you, Lord. Where are we going to go? Am I going to go back to fishing? That didn't do it for me. I'll go back to my family? That didn't do it for me. Go back to making money? That didn't do it for me. Go out to hanging out and having fun with my friends? That didn't do it for me. And listen, that was 2,000 years ago. It still won't do it for you today. 2009. Listen, your possessions won't give you that satisfaction. You can get the biggest car you want, biggest house, whatever. Fastest laptops. Okay? lightning speed. You can be like those people on the commercials, you know, the ties are flying up and they're sitting down at their desk. Okay, you can be that. It's not going to help you. after you end your browser, the phone's going to be over. I have to reboot, okay? Just kidding. Possessions won't do it. Achievements won't do it. Intelligence won't do it. Or acceptance or applause by people won't do it. Some people think, oh man, if I could just get on that ball field and show my talent to people and everybody gives me the, that would really give me what I'm looking for. Oh, it won't. You can have all the money. You can have all those things. And by the way, the money won't do it. The clubs won't do it. Well, I'm not dealing with that. Well, some people in this room are. Clubs won't do it, people. Drinking won't do it. Drugs won't do it. Gangs, fellas, won't do it. I can only find it in him. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In such there is no law. Listen. You can only find that in him. Only in him. He can give me peace. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I'm going to miss that. Yeah, amen. Listen to me. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord. You want real happiness? Get the blessing of the Lord in your life. And it says, it maketh rich. You know what that means? That you really got something there. Listen, you can have all the money. That doesn't make you rich. You can have all the stuff. That doesn't make you rich. You get the blessing of the Lord. That makes you rich. That does something for you. And then the last part of it says, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Amen. You know what? That's the difference between God's fun and the world's fun. Well, you can, I mean, we all agree that a part of sin is joyful. You have a good time doing it. It's fun for a little bit. Pleasures of sin for a season. Notice it did say pleasures of sin. Sin does have some pleasure attached to it, but it only lasts for a season. Once the season's over, you have sorrow attached to it. You have scars attached to it that you'll never get rid of. You have memories that you'll never get rid of. You have things that you can never get yourself out of. But if you get the blessing of the Lord and you have his kind of fun, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Man, that's good stuff. That means you didn't catch that, but that means you can have a good old time in the Lord and there's no consequences. There's no repercussions. I can like they said on Madagascar, I can hang here, all right? That's cool. This place is crack-a-lacking, all right? That works for me. He can give you peace. Listen, the Bible says, there is no peace, saith the Lord to the wicked. You want peace, you got to find it in him. You want a purpose for your life? We already spoke about that. But you know what? You need to invest in eternity. You know why? A lot of people, when we start talking about the rapture or you know, you could die at any moment, they get a little hesitant. Because all their possessions are not laid up in heaven, but they're laid here on earth. We start talking about the rapture, and you're, well, send stuff ahead, be a blessing to people. You know how you send stuff ahead? Go up, come out Thursday night. Yeah, I said come out Thursday night. Say that every time I get up here, but nothing happens. You need to come. Listen, when I get to heaven, I want to have a lot of rewards stacked up for me. The only way you're gonna do that is by putting in the time now. And he can give you the products of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. Now, the crowd leaves. Multitude leaves. He turns to the disciple and says, y'all leaving too? Peter said, I can't leave you. Why? Because you only have salvation. Because you only have satisfaction. And I need those things, Lord. Can't find them anywhere else. So number three, you know what his reaction was and what our reaction should be? Number three, I'm staying. He says, to whom shall we go that has the words of eternal life? We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. By the way, he says, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. You know what he's saying? I know for sure that you're the real deal. How can I know that in such a postmodern world where everything, I can't figure it out, there's no rhyme or reason, no meaning to life? How can I know that? How can I be sure that he is the Christ? Listen. You want to be sure that he's the Christ? Spend a little time with him. That's what Peter did. He spent some time with him. And he said in verse 69, we believe and are sure you're the Christ. That's why I'm not leaving. He says, I'm staying. He said, I'm staying when it gets tough. Hey, are you going to stay when it gets tough? I want to stay when it gets tough. He says, I'm staying when it's hard to trust. There's going to be some times where it doesn't look like any good can come out of a situation that God stuck you in. That's true. How can this... You say all things work together for good, God, but how can this happen? Listen, you keep trusting him. and all things do work together for good. And after a while, you say, you know what? He was right. Listen, but are you going to stay when it gets tough? Are you going to stay when it's hard to trust? And lastly, are you going to stay when others turn? That's what happened right here. The multitude turned. Hey, I had my food. I had the dessert. You know, I had the chocolate cake, whatever. I'm out of here. Listen, you're calling me for this commitment stuff that I need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and all this other stuff. I just came for the food. Food's over. I'm out. I'm not going to commit to you. Sorry. And most of them left. But Peter said, even when others turn, I'm staying. I'm staying. Listen to me. To whom shall you go? Where are you going to go? Where in the world are you going to go? You can't find in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not find it. You can listen to me. Some of you have searched this country. You've searched people's lives. And you thought if you had the fun, you had the sex, or you had this, or you had the parties, or you had the good time, then you could finally fill that void in your life. There is no way that you are ever going to fill that void in your life except if you get Him in your life and be right with Him. So if Jesus asked you today, you leaving too? What would you say? You leaving too? Are you just in it for the picnic, or are you in it for the preaching too? I would like to ask you, though, if you do decide to turn, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go to find salvation? You can confess to some man. He's not going to give you salvation. You can get baptized as much as you want to. You can come out here tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm not going to save you. You're going to go down a wet center. You're going to go down a dry center, come up a wet one. I'm not going to change you. Where are you going to go to find salvation? Hey, and where are you going to go to find satisfaction? There's no place other than Him. He has it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm staying. You all stay too. Hey, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Bow our head and close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for what our hearts have felt, Lord. God, I pray you would speak to hearts right now. God, no doubt there's people unsaved. No doubt there's Christians that need to get right with you. God, we've got a great time planned outside and all of that. And thank you for the people that put a lot of labor into it for us to have this time of fellowship, Lord. But God, this is more important than that right now. And God, I pray you would do work in people's lives and that they would mean business with you. Lord, please bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The Lord spoke to my heart. I need to make a decision right now. Is there any person here? Nobody looking around? Is there any person here say, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure that if I died right now that I would go to heaven. But I want to. Can't find it anywhere else. Anybody. Say, I need to get that salvation in my life. I need to be saved. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want that satisfaction in my life. You're not going to get the satisfaction unless you are connected with Christ and doing and obeying what He said. It's impossible to get it any other way. It's impossible. Maybe you need to renew your commitment. Say, hey, when it gets hard in my life, when it gets tough, I'm going to stay. You don't know what's around the corner. You need to be prepared for it. What if your friend turns their back on the Lord? Are you going to turn? What if your family turns their back on the Lord? You gonna turn? You gonna roll out too? Sure hope not. Where are you gonna go? Where are you gonna go? You ought to, even if you didn't come to the altar, you ought to make a decision, a commitment in your mind saying, Lord, I'm committing to you that no matter what comes in my life, I'm gonna stay faithful to you. I'm gonna be committed to you no matter what. I'm staying. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. Hey, I don't know if Jesus is God or not. Spend some time with him. You'll find out. There'll be no doubt in your mind. Maybe there's something out of Jeffrey's message. Are you lacking something in your life? Your relationship getting weak? You know, it's amazing that when our relationship starts to get weak with the Lord, the devil's attacks get stronger and stronger. Your responsibility, your response to the Holy Spirit, are you doing what you need to do?